athletic competition. It can easily be broken down into two parts: the minutes or hours it takes to complete the event, then weeks, months, and years of joy or heartbreak. Finally, the decades to analyze and debate it. From the press box to press row, Donald Ware will break it all down for you with an in-depth look at historically black college athletics, as well as the biggest news stories and newsmakers of the day. It's time to talk the talk with those who walk the walk. From the press box to press row, here's your host, Donald Ware.
Back in the days when I was young, I'm not a kid anymore, but some days I sit and wish I was a kid again. Back in the days when I was young, I'm not a kid anymore, but some days I sit and wish I was a kid again.
Thank you for joining me on this Memorial Day weekend edition of Box to Row. We've got a lot to get to. The NBA playoffs are going on. We're down to the respective conference finals. And look, things could have been a little bit different for both the Pacers and the Timberwolves. Things could have been, could really be different now in the respective series for both. I thought that the Pacers certainly should have won game one, had all the opportunities. Look, Jason Tatum was not good in the fourth quarter. He was spectacular in the overtime period. But again, you gave him that opportunity to be spectacular in the overtime period, and the Celtics took full advantage of that. Look, not as dramatic with the Timberwolves and the Mavs. However, I thought that was a game that the Mavs could have had the higher seed. They're at home and could not close out that game. So look, we're going to talk some NBA playoffs today here on the program. But not only that, we're going to talk about what's going on in the rest or around the rest of the NBA. Mike Wallace is the senior editor of Grind City Media. We're going to ask him about the Lakers coaching search, about LeBron James and his future, about his son Bronny James. I want to talk with him about a number of different things, the Suns and what the Suns are going to do moving forward. There's a lot to get to. And by the way, Coach Bickerstaff in Cleveland out as the head coach. I was very surprised about that. So we're going to talk about all of it with Mike Wallace, the senior editor of Grind City Media. Look, last weekend, I got to give big shots out to Morgan State University, my alma mater. And I was up in Baltimore last Friday. It was Alumni Day, the weekend of graduation, and all of the classes from the years ending in 4 and 9 were honored. So I was really glad to be there, saw some classmates that I hadn't seen. I mean, you know, social media's kind of made it so. Look, so There was a brother, as a matter of fact, I hadn't seen since we graduated, but I've seen him on Facebook, have interacted with him on Facebook, have been on several, you know, Morgan State University phone calls with him. And so when I saw him, it was like I just saw him, you know what I mean? So it's not like those things, man, I haven't seen you in such and such many years, man, how you been and all that. Now, you know, in particular, Facebook has made it so now you don't even, of course, in some ways you're fortunate if you're not on social media and in particular Facebook, because then you can have those sort of interactions that maybe you haven't had in so many years. Whereas Facebook, if you're on Facebook, you know sort of what everybody is doing if they're sharing that with you. But nonetheless, it was still great to see some people hadn't seen in many, many years, and some of the great things that are happening at Morgan State University under the leadership of Dr. Wilson. Travis Mitchell was the MC of the event. Travis Mitchell is the vice president for content and programming for Maryland Public Television. So look, it was just a great time. to be up in Baltimore to see some old friends that I hadn't seen and meet some new people and see some old friends that I hadn't seen in many, many years since I graduated from Morgan State University. Let me do this right now. So whatever your alma mater is, right? Like, even if you didn't, you know, we place and put a good emphasis and highlight HBCUs and HBCU sports in particular on this show that we call Box to Row. And so I'll, you know, say this because I've given probably or donated more money to Morgan maybe in the last year plus than I had since I graduated. I'm not going to tell you how long ago that was, but it was some time. It's been quite a bit of time ago, right? And so I would encourage you, because universities, all universities, even if you've gone to a university that you think has a bunch of money or has a great endowment, institutions of higher learning need resources, need alumni participation, need community participation, need business participation, so that we can educate, or those universities can educate, the next generation. And so in particular with our HBCUs, maybe go to your, if you're not doing anything right now, maybe go to your HBCU's website, find where you can donate, because most universities are going to have websites where you can make a donation. Just make a donation. It's a small donation. Even if it's, you know, $25, or, I mean, heck, even if it's $5, every little bit helps. And by the way, in most instances, when you make a donation, you can earmark that donation for what you want it to be for specifically. So support your HBCU, support your institution, and maybe consider making a donation. So I made a weekend of it and stayed in Washington the next couple of days. And speaking about this Memorial Day weekend, a lot of memories whenever I go back home. And I love records, like vinyl records, old records. I went to, let's see, there were four record shops that I went to in the DMV, and one in Baltimore also, while I was up in the Baltimore, Washington area last weekend. And I picked up a couple of vinyls. I don't believe in reissues. So if it's a reissue of an album that came out 30 years ago, I'm not purchasing it. I don't get down that way. I only believe in purchasing what they call OG albums. I had a haul, right? Like between the record stores, I purchased something out of three of the four record stores. And mostly I'm into, you know, the old school hip hop. Anything that came out, probably if it came out after 2006, even if it's on record, the likelihood is that I'm not buying it. Now, when Cardi B's album first came out, her first album, I think it was 2018, I did buy that, but didn't open it, because I feel like in the future it's going to be worth something when it's more than, and it's sealed. And I can listen. I don't have to listen to the album on the record player. I can just listen, you know, on your computer or on your phone or whatever the case may be. But I got to point out, so that was that, and bought a bunch of records. I can't even think, bought some, you know, I'm into the hip hop, you know, into the R&B, into all of it, really. I may have bought some AC/DC, and that may have been a couple of weekends ago. But in any event, there are three albums in particular that I bought that I actually ordered online this past week that have come. Yo-Yo's, I think it was her second album. It was the album that came out in 1994 called You Better Ask Somebody. I bought that one. It didn't even have a cover. It was more like, because back in like the 90s and around that time, CDs were the thing. CDs were certainly replacing records. And then those that remember cassette tapes were sort of on the way out. They were still in the market and you could still buy cassette tapes, but they were sort of on their way out as CDs became the most prevalent form of media to buy, to listen to a particular album. So Yo-Yo's album didn't even have like a cover or anything. It was just more like a promotional album. So I bought that, right? So that's one that I really, really am going to enjoy this weekend. Speaking of this Memorial Day weekend, I bought King T's At Your Own Risk. And of course, these albums I had when I was younger, either on when they first came out, either on CD or on cassette tape. Most of them I had on cassette tape, because even when CDs came out, I was still into the cassette tapes. Like I had a car that I didn't have a CD player. One of the cars I did have, like around 96, I put a CD player in it. But I had a car that had, you know, had the cassette tape in it. And then when I did get into the CDs, you could buy like a single CD player and get the adapter where you could play like it was like a cassette player, and you attached it into your CD and then put it into the cassette part of the radio part, and then you can play the CD from that. So I kind of had that. But anyway, At Your Own Risk, King T. I'm going to dive into that record this weekend. And then also Slick Rick's The Ruler's Back, his second album. Bought all three of those offline. Didn't find those. It's really becoming harder and harder in record stores to kind of find albums or records that are original records. So you can still kind of go online and do that. So anyway, that's what I'm going to be doing on this Memorial Day weekend, kind of reminiscing. And that's the way that I like to reminisce. I like to reminisce when a certain song comes on, music, it takes me back to a certain time, like a summertime, right? By DJ Jazzy Jeff and the Fresh Prince. It takes me back to a time when maybe like 91, you know, sort of that spring, summertime of 91 really, really brings back a bunch of memories. I want to hear from you. Hit me up, right, at Box to Row. What most comes to your mind when you think back to the day, or you hear a particular song, and then what comes to your mind? Hit me up via Twitter at Box to Row, BoxToRow. We got plenty more to talk about. NBA playoffs still to come. Up next here on Box to Row, we're going to be joined by Mike Wallace, senior editor of Grind City Media. We're going to talk some NBA playoffs, but we're going to talk a lot more about what's going on in the NBA as a whole. Keep it locked.
Police man is on a criminal season. What is he doing in here? I said the police man is on a criminal season. What is he doing in here? The police man is on a criminal season. What is he doing in here? The police man on the criminal scene. What in the hell is he doing in here? Mowing your head a candy store, making a fortune behind the door. Cops ran in a danger and after. Brother the more he began to shout, Rondo, Rondo, Rondo. Hey, the police man at the door.
The Body Armor State Games are coming to Charlotte this June. Registration is open to athletes of all ages and skill levels in 25 different sports. The Body Armor State Games feature 13,000 athletes and 700 teams. Don't miss out on North Carolina's largest sports festival of the year. Visit BodyArmorStateGames.org today. The Body Armor State Games are proud to partner with Truist, Harris Teeter, and Blue Cross and Blue Shield of North Carolina.
On last week's From the Press Box to Press Row with Donald Ware.
But again, it's the narrative of the New York Knicks that really bothers me more so than anything else. If the Knicks win and the Knicks are doing well, then all of the talk is about the Knicks. The Knicks are doing well because the Knicks and the Yankees, probably the most dominant teams in New York, It's going to be all about the Knicks. And I'm not wishing ill upon the Knicks. I'm tired of hearing about the Knicks. When the Knicks win, you know, if the Knicks lose, the narrative would be, well, they weren't 100%.
From the Press Box to Press Row is one of the hottest sports talk shows in the country. Join Donald each week as he takes you on a journey through the world of HBCU sports and pro sports and interviews with top sports and entertainment figures. That's from the Press Box to Press Row each week on your favorite station.
Listening to From the Press Box to Press Row.
From the Press Box to Press Row.
Box to Box Row.
Box to Row.
Box to Row.
You want to tell me what this is all about?
As I walk through the valley of the shadow of... We're going to keep things moving here on the program, joined by a gentleman. We don't take this lightly. This gentleman, we go back to his time as the beat reporter for the Florida A&M Rattlers at the Tallahassee Democrat. And then I was, of course, SID, Sports Information Director, for those that don't know, at A&T. We're still doing our thing. He's doing his thing. Big time Grambling graduate. Like, I don't take Mike Wallace coming on our program for granted. He's a Grambling grad. He runs an NBA medium, meaning he's the senior editor of Grind City Media, which is the website that covers the Memphis Grizzlies, knows the NBA like no other, as Mike Wallace joins us here on the program. And by the way, not just the Grizzlies in the NBA, HBCU, tennis, football throughout colleges or for college throughout the state of Tennessee, et cetera, et cetera. What's going on, Mike?
Hey, what's going on, Donald, man? Glad to be with you this holiday weekend. Always a pleasure, man. We got so much to get to. It's always busy, man, but you keep it going. That introduction for me was great, but, man, you just triple that for when it's time for me to introduce you when you come on our shows, man. So that's love. That's all love right there.
I appreciate it. The HBCU Huddle, it's a must listen. Yeah, we can talk about the Pacers, and we will, and we can talk about Minnesota, and we will. But I want to start here. The Lakers job, you know, you're hearing about a couple of candidates, maybe some interviews have taken place. You know, your thoughts on where the Lakers job is, A, and then B, Darvin Ham. I know we're past that, but obviously ultimately being let go.
You know, I I'll start with the B first, man. I mean, Darvin Ham didn't do anything to deserve losing his job, you know, two seasons in. I mean, he took those guys to the playoffs both seasons, got to the Western Conference Finals, coaching them last year, and then they went out in the first round this year. You know, obviously that's not the level of expectation for the Lakers, but no matter who you put in that situation, any coach, you could have traded positions with he and any other of the league's 29 coaches, and I'm not sure if the Lakers would have had a better resume over these 2 years than what Darvin Ham was able to get out. But what that tells me is that in this day and age of the NBA, coaches are easily the scapegoats. We obviously saw a situation develop as well with J.B. Bickerstaff losing his job in Cleveland just moments ago from that standpoint. So these are guys that have gotten these teams to the playoffs. These are guys that are managing all of these massive egos. These are guys that have taken rosters that have been in flux the last 2 years. And unfortunately, these are two African-American men who should have a NBA future in the coaching ranks that now they have another dark mark on their resume. So, you know, again, no matter who takes the Lakers job moving forward, and you're hearing all kind of names, I'm not sure if that's going to be a fixable situation unless the players like LeBron James and Anthony Davis can fix it. They've invested money in their supporting cast. You know, we've seen Rui Hachimura get his money. We've seen AR get his money from that standpoint. Austin Reed get his money from that standpoint. And, you know, they just have to figure out the D'Angelo point guard position issue. They also have to get some guys healthy. We hadn't seen Gabe Vincent in two seasons now since he signed with those guys, basically, from that standpoint. Jared Vanderbilt hadn't been healthy for any stretch. So we hadn't seen them whole yet. But unfortunately, somebody has to take the fall, and that's the case right now. Whoever emerges is going to have their hands full. We've seen Scott Vogel. We've seen, you know, obviously Darvin Ham. The list goes on and on and on if you want to go back further and further and further from there.
You know, the Bickerstaff deal, that's a tough one, as you mentioned, because, look, you know, yes, struggled against Orlando, but ultimately made it to the second round. Even if Mitchell had been healthy, that's a tough ask to beat. I mean, they may have won one more game. That's a tough ask to ask the Cavs to beat the best team in perhaps in the league. So I guess that was brewing over years. Did that in fact surprise you that in fact that Bickerstaff was let go?
You know, it surprised me that he was let go, because this was a guy that was in, you know, I mean, he could have been in Coach of the Year consideration in the last 2 years, you know what I mean, for what he was able to do to help turn around Cleveland. You know, it's also one of those deals where he's had to face a whole bunch of injuries with that roster. That roster hadn't gotten healthy. You know, Donovan Mitchell missed, you know, a stretch of games, a dozen to 20 games. Garland had some injuries earlier on. Then obviously, you know, you finished the playoffs without Jared Allen. Mobley was out the first half of the year for a long time. And you could never put that team together to get it any kind of momentum. And for JB to still get this team where it got it, and to be what, game six, you lose game six to the Boston Celtics, the number one seed in the second round of the playoffs. First time you've gotten that far since, you know, LeBron was wearing that uniform. It's like, what more could the guy have done? So what that tells me is that this wasn't about performance on the court. It was more about chemistry issues and relationships behind the scenes and where this team needs to go. So if it's one of those situations where you got to appease a segment of players, or you try to remain and have continuity among the coaching staff, obviously Gilbert and his front office chose to go, you know, hey, we're going to try to figure out how to make these players happy and keep them happy versus trying to have continuity on the coaching staff. Who comes in and takes that job? That's another question. Like, it's not like it's a whole bunch of proven, qualified, certified answers that are just waiting outside, you know what I mean, to come back into the NBA and take these jobs. When you let go of a guy like that who's done these kind of things, who are you out there trying to replace him with? That's going to be the big question. And I don't think there are any clear answers or easy answers. What I do know is that if my hometown Washington Wizards are smart, they better be on the phone right now with J.B. Bickerstaff to try to get him up there, because I think he would do wonders, you know, coaching in sort of his father's footsteps. I remember when Bernie coached the Bullets when they were in the playoffs back in the day. And J.B. is certainly a hot commodity who deserves another shot.
Man, you said something there, Mike Wallace. You know what I'm saying? Because the Wizards are sort of really in a bad way. We're talking with Mike Wallace, senior editor of Grind City Media, talking some NBA with him here on the program. LeBron returns, right? Like, he returns to the Lakers, right?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think so. I don't think unless something goes completely sideways, you know, and he's going to do this song and dance, man. We've seen LeBron do this when teams are you know, they would fire the coach, and then, you know, he wants to have input but not necessarily be the one that has to answer for who's going to get the coaching job. But you know he's going to have some influence there, specifically if all the reports and speculation is true and J.J. Redick has emerged as a serious candidate. LeBron already has a relationship with J.J. Redick. The question is J.J. going to come in and you know, with zero experience having coached, and is he going to be smart enough to put a quality staff together? Is it going to be one of those situations where, you know, can he coach this team into some situations where they can be successful? Anthony Davis and LeBron James will not be easy to coach. They're two Hall of Famers, but they're at this stage of their careers where it's not given that they can lead you dynamically to a championship level. They need help. And that help has to first come from the bench, and then it has to come from the supporting cast. It's going to be, you know, yes, I do see LeBron staying in L.A., but again, I've seen him move two other times, and both times I was kind of surprised. So this one wouldn't surprise me no matter what he does.
And we must make notes. We mentioned, you know, Mike in the open. Mike covered LeBron James during those years in Miami, even before that, the years with Wade, the first championship. As a matter of fact, want to make note of that. Were you in Chicago? Were you in Chicago?
Yes, the combine, the lottery. Yeah, I was in a sequestered room for the lottery, so I saw the ping pong balls go into the machine, and I saw it come out. And then 90 minutes later, we were able to leave that room after the national television show broadcast the lottery results. I was also in Chicago the next few days for the combine, so I was able to see, you know, all of the top prospects and even some of the scrimmaging sessions too. So it was a great setup in Chicago. A lot of storylines coming out of there, man. And, you know, we'll see how this draft falls, because these guys right now are literally all over the board when it comes to mock drafts.
Yeah, I'm going to ask you about Bronny specifically, but you just reminded me of something, because you mentioned the ping pong balls and you talked about the Wizards. The ping pong balls were favorable was favorable for the nowhere in the world the Wizards should have picked. Well, not nowhere in the world, but they were very fortunate to get the number two pick. What do you see in terms of the talent in this year's upcoming draft? And can this be the year that maybe the Wizards, I'm being selfish here a little bit, but finally, you know, get the pick right, if you will?
You know, it's hard to judge these drafts and these classes. I hear every year, it's always next year is going to be the better class as opposed to this year. It always seems to be the following year that has the better class in terms of prospects. And I think sometimes, man, that's just a bunch of hogwash because you never know how these guys are going to eventually adapt and get into the NBA and perform. You know what I mean? You look at a team like the Wizards, do you want the number two pick or do you want the number 12 pick? You definitely would rather be at number two no matter what, because now you get to kind of control the board. I do think all the indications are that Alexander Sarr, the 7-footer from France who played in Australia last year, is going to be the number one pick to the Hawks. And then the Wizards get to select whoever they want from that standpoint moving forward. So we'll see if the other kid from France gets to go and join Bilal in Washington, or if Washington goes a different way. It just depends on what that team wants to do, because I do think they can either say, you know what, let's trade out of this number two, go get a veteran and fast track our rebuilding. Or they can say, you know what, let's double down on the youth and completely start over with the new coaching staff. The front office just got reestablished there, and then they want to sort of build it the Oklahoma City way. So the Washington has all the options open right there. I'm impressed with their front office, their new front office team that was represented in Chicago. I think they're going to be smart. I think they're going to be reactive to what's going on in the league. And I also think they have a clear direction with what they want to do. So it's just a matter of which way they want to use this number two overall pick, because they certainly can use it as a strong asset either way.
We're talking with Mike Wallace, senior editor of Grind City Media. We're talking some NBA. We're going to step aside and take a break. Come back. I want to talk Bronny. I want to talk series. I want to talk Sun situation. And I want to talk the future of the Knicks. More with Mike Wallace, senior editor of Grind City Media, on the other side.
The Body Armor State Games are coming to Charlotte this June. Registration is open to athletes of all ages and skill levels in 25 different sports. The Body Armor State Games feature 13,000 athletes and 700 teams. Don't miss out on North Carolina's largest sports festival of the year. Visit BodyArmorStateGames.org today. The Body Armor State Games are proud to partner with Truist, Harris Teeter, and Blue Cross and Blue Shield of North Carolina.
You're listening to From the Press Box to Press Row.
That is the voice of Kevin Durant.
I'm excited I get to play for them. They support us in everything we do. You know, it's a joy to, you know, go to work and know that you're going to be, you know, they're going to cheer for you as loud as they can, no matter who you're playing.
Michael B. Jordan.
And I think it's a testament to, you know, what HBCUs mean to people. You know, and having that community and culture and shining a light on the universities, you know what I'm saying, in a real way, and creating a pipeline from these kids in high school and making them feel good about wanting to land at HBCU. We have high talent. And often it's gone and shipped out to other places. It's never poured back into the community. So if we can create an environment that's cool and a beacon of light and people want to feel like they want to be here. And so putting it on the national stage is really big. You know, most of the time these kids don't get televised games, you know what I'm saying? So be able to put them on Turner in a real way was really, really important. And then the brands and then the sponsors, you know what I'm saying? And getting, you know, the NBA, you know, scouts and looks to come in and hopefully like build this thing bigger.
The one and only Stephen A. Smith.
It's my sincere hope that when my ride ends, I'll get a big hug and a big thank you for what I tried to do for other people when I was at the top. Because that's all you have to lean on at the end of the day, bro. I mean, I plan on being successful for years to come, but it ain't gonna last forever. And, you know, when my day comes, when it's the end of the road and it's time for somebody else to be in my seat, in my chair, you know, it's my hope that whoever that person or those people are, people that knew I cared about them and believed in them to help them get to this place.
Hey, Spike Lee.
Thank you. I haven't heard that. I mean, I've been on radios all over the nation. Thank you for that question. I'm a third-generation Morehouse man. I was taught to speak your truth, and that there's very special about being a Morehouse man, the same way you feel about your school, the same way we feel all about our respective historic black colleges. That would have been my first choice. anyway, and I'm proud to be a Morehouse man.
I'm talking about none other than Serena Williams.
That was definitely one of the better matches I've ever played. I've had just like that. You know, I was really focused, just really, you know, excited.
That is the voice of Steph Curry.
Your progress from Davidson to now with Golden State.
Where I've come from in high school into a small D1 college at Davidson. And, it's a great story, and I'm just having fun, you know, living my dream and riding the ride.
The one and only Michael Strahan.
Always good to talk to you. Hopefully next time it won't be, 14 years. You get to man, you know what is good? And you're encouraging people to be better and do better. And that's what I love, man. So thank you. I appreciate you.
As we're joined by the one and only Jerry Rice. What do you remember most about those days at Mississippi Valley State?
What is going on at Mississippi Valley State University? Why are these guys putting up unbelievable numbers? And that brought awareness to the school. And after that, I got drafted to the San Francisco 49ers.
Dave Roberts, manager of the LA Dodgers, to be person of color and be the manager of the Dodgers. What does that mean to you?
I think the first thing that comes to me is responsibility. With recency and kind of the social, the racial issues that we're having that have really come to light, which is, I believe, are good things. I think that it's a responsibility for me to be the first manager of color for the Dodgers. There's not many of us in baseball to do things the right way, to hopefully give other people of color opportunity. Hopefully it just paves the way. So I think that for me, I definitely look at it as responsibility, but something I'm willing to undertake.
Snoop Dogg is on the mic. Pay attention.
Oh, man, thank you for having me play in a real way. I mean, I'm so honored. Hillview Football League has done so many wonders. We got over 200 kids that have graduated from high school. We have over 50 kids that have gone to Division I.
NBA All-Star Chris Paul.
That was great to bring it back to Winston-Salem State University, a black college. Something that my city had never seen before, may never see again, and just having a up close and personal feeling with LeBron James, Kevin Durant, Melo. It was exciting. I'm grateful for those guys coming out.
Kyrie Irving.
Playing at Duke for Coach K. What was that like and how that prepared you for the league now?
Playing 11 games, you know, a lot of people think that's not a big package for you to become a better player, but for me it was. Playing for Coach K, he gave me the keys to the car and I was driving it in the first 8 games. And, you know, being a part of something special like that and having a brotherhood built at an institution such as that one is an experience that you never forget.
Ice Cube has been our guest.
Hey man, thanks for letting me talk a little music, movies, and sports. Hey, my favorite three topics.
Hey, y'all. It is the EST of WWE, the strongest, the fastest, the roughest, the toughest, the quickest, the greatest, the best on Box to Row.
From the Press Box to Press Row is the sports talk show that is the voice and the talk of HBCU sports with a flair for pro sports talk and entertainment. Check the show out online at BoxToRow.com.
That's From the Press Box to Press Row, real, relevant radio. We're back here on the program. We're talking some NBA with Mike Wallace, senior editor of Grind City Media. Appreciate you, Mike, for sticking around. Bronny James, your thoughts on what you saw? I think at one time maybe he definitely was linked with his father. Now it doesn't necessarily seem that way in terms of LeBron playing for the team that ultimately drafts Bronny. But your thoughts on, first of all, what you saw from him and then where he could be drafted.
You know, it's such a delicate, you know, subject when it comes to Bronny James, you know, because to me, you know, there's a little bit of a personal rooting interest for him. You know, having been around his dad so long, and I remember being, you know, obviously when LeBron was in Miami for those 4 years, Bronny was much younger and I used to see him every day coming to practice, to games, you know, when he was just a little tight man, and to see him as a basically a young grown man right now, you watched him grow up and you know the spotlight that he had to grow up under, and to still get to this point where he's even invited to a combine with a shot to be in the NBA speaks about his resolve, especially coming off of what he did the last couple of years with the heart issue last year. I just wish nothing but, you know, the best and the best of health for him and his family first and foremost. This basketball stuff is going to work out. You know what I mean? I will say this. He doesn't jump off the page to me as a prospect. He was just another guy when it came to what he showed in the combine. And that's being, you know, transparent. That's being objective about it. You know what I mean? I want to see him succeed, but I didn't see anything that said, hey, this is a definite first or second round pick. You know what I mean? I saw this as a guy that, okay, if he's in the G League, he can scrap and claw and fight his way into trying to become something, and we'll see where it goes from there. I do think he will get drafted, though. I find it hard to believe that because of the high profile, because of all that went into this, I do not think LeBron James, clutch management, and the NBA will have ushered this guy through an NBA combine without there already being some kind of understanding that, yes, some team will pick him at least in the second round. Because if you don't pick him, then it's almost like, wow, you know, this dude did all of this and he's, and he didn't make it. Right. So I can't see that happening. I don't foresee that. I think the fact that some team may have already decided they were going to take him in the second round necessitated him having to be invited to the combine to justify that more so than the other way around. Right. Yeah. So we'll see. I think his measurements were good. Can he play point guard? Can he facilitate? That's going to be the big question. He's not a natural facilitator at the NBA level just yet. His shooting, he tested well in a lot of the things. His vertical was great. His shooting skills off the dribble were great. Scrimmages, he didn't really light up anything. But having said that, you know, we'll see how he works out in these individual workouts, or if he even takes individual workouts. That'll be another clear sign in terms of where this thing is headed with Bronny.
Yeah, great insight on that, Mike. Let me switch gears, get back to a specific team in the Suns. You know, Kevin Durant is losing years. He's getting older. Devin Booker, I mean, he's still relatively young. You know, Bradley Beal basically, in my opinion, gave the Suns nothing much anyway. You know what I'm saying? Like this year. So, you know, now you have Mike Budenholzer as part of the process as an NBA champion, of course, going back to, you know, his days with the Bucks, where he ultimately, a couple of years later, got fired anyway. How much does Budenholzer being there help the Suns to contend for an NBA championship?
You know, it reeks of recycled, aspirations. You know, you recycle a guy who was in the finals and wore out his welcome and you know, wore on guys and just a different voice was needed, right? Milwaukee just went through that too, trying to recycle Doc Rivers, and it didn't have any impact whatsoever on them midway through the season. Budenholzer is a brilliant regular season coach. His regular season resume speaks for itself. For what he was able to do and how he was able to get the Hawks to where he got them to when he did, you know, the 61 team with four All-Stars during his heyday with the Hawks. Then he went to Milwaukee and got a championship with Giannis. But he unceremoniously was escorted out after that. Can he get Phoenix to the next step? You know, I don't know if coaching was the difference between Phoenix finishing, you know, getting swept in the first round versus making it to the conference finals. I don't see them, even if they had Phil Jackson or Greg Popovich or whoever, I don't see them getting past Minnesota in that series. And I definitely don't see them advancing as far as the Western Conference Finals with the way that they got through the regular season. So it's a veteran voice. He knows how to treat veterans. He knows how to preserve guys' bodies. But is he an ego manager? We'll see, because that's what seems like Phoenix is going to need. How do you acquiesce to Kevin Durant, but also stay true to Devin Booker, who is truly your franchise icon? How do you get something out of Bradley Beal? Because you're paying him like a number one max guy, and he's giving you number three and a half type of production. And he hasn't been healthy yet because of, you know, a full season. So that's a hard job to have, man, because, you know, you're cash strapped. You know, you don't have much flexibility, but you have elite expectations. And that's a difficult place to be. So I think he can do a good job. So kudos to him for getting a guaranteed 5-year deal where he's going to get almost $50 million to do it. So he's safe and secure when it comes to that. He's an Arizona native. So I think he's going to be sparked. He's going to have that energy back again that kind of waned in Milwaukee. And we'll see. It's always going to be a year-to-year thing with these guys, because if they don't advance to the Western Conference Finals next year, that's another year of failure. They're either getting to the finals or it's a bust. And that's where it is when you're with Kevin Durant at this stage of his career.
No doubt about it. Mike Wallace, senior editor of Grind City Media, joining us here on the program for a couple of more moments, talking some NBA. The Knicks' future, and what I mean by that, you know, Anunoby, I believe, is a free agent. Is that correct?
I need to check on that. I thought they traded him there with hopes that he would sign an extension. And I think if he hasn't signed the extension or isn't extension eligible, then he may have another year. But, yes, I know he was coming up on something where they got to make a decision on him for sure.
Okay, and that said, I mean, look, Knicks fans will say, well, we were injured. And yeah, I mean, they had some injuries. You were still up 2-0 without Anunoby. Randle.
Oh, Julius Randle.
So you still were up 2-0 and you lost. So whatever, to me. But that said, do the Knicks need another piece to take, in fact, that next step. I thought they played above themselves. I thought they played extremely well, but it wasn't enough to get it done to at least make it to the Eastern Conference Final. Do they need a little bit more?
Yes, they definitely need more. I think they put a lot of burden on Brunson, and he was able to carry it as long as he could. I think Tibbs needs to, and again, we've been saying this about Tibbs for three stops now. You know, we said it about him in Chicago. He's running guys into the ground. They get to the playoffs, into a seven-game series, and they can never maximize because of injuries. We said that in Minnesota. You know what I mean? The only guy that really responded was Jimmy Butler that he had in Minnesota when it came time to really put those minutes and those heavy burdens on him. The Knicks were a fascinating story this playoff series, but they had a slugfest against Philly. Then they had a slugfest against Indiana, and it was just tough to try to get past all of that and still be healthy. Guys were falling apart left and right. You can have a badge on your back and say, hey, I played 48, 47 minutes, you know, the way Hart was playing and the way Brunson was playing. But then when you see guys have hamstrings and groins and tweaks like that, you're basically saying, look, I'm running these guys. These are fatigue type injuries. These are muscle strains because of overuse. You know what I mean? Now, Brunson went out. It was a freak injury where he, you know, fractured his finger or whatever, his hand. That could have happened at any point. But I do think they need another piece. It's going to be interesting to see how they value Randle and whether Randle feels like, okay, this team moved on without me. Can they do something and get another player in at his salary point that could be a little bit more of a punch? Will they bring back Anunoby? I think they will because they saw how successful they could be with him. And he's a prototypical Tom Thibodeau type wing that can 3-and-D and just be physical. So I do think the Knicks, this wasn't a passing fancy. I think these guys are going to be factors in the East. They were the number two seed, and they got there because they deserved it. Now, can you preserve them through a regular season and keep them healthy going through the playoffs? We'll see where it goes from there.
Looking at these series, the Pacers and the start with the Pacers and the Celtics, and look, the series is where it is. However, it could be a lot different for the Pacers right now. Probably should have been. Probably should have won game one, did not. Mm-hmm. Your thoughts on the series? Who did you have going in? And then your thoughts on how the series may progress?
Yeah, the initial impressions of these two conference final series, man. You know, it's you felt going in that all of the hype was around Boston, all the expectations was around Boston. But one of the things I was telling people, you know, both in my office and throughout the league, is that, you know, Boston is facing something in Indiana that they hadn't seen through the first two rounds of the playoffs. They're facing a team that's healthy, that doesn't have any major injuries, and they're facing a team that has depth and role players who accept their roles, right? New York was banged up. You know what I mean? So Indiana got past New York, but they still earned their way past them. I don't think Indiana got enough credit for what they were able to do to resolve the New York Knicks and figure out that. But Boston faced two teams. I mean, Miami didn't have Jimmy Butler, and that whole squad fell apart towards the end of that series. And then when you move forward beyond that, I mean, this is a team that really just didn't, you know, they didn't have to do much to really, you know, Donovan Mitchell couldn't finish the series. And then at the beginning, you didn't have Jared Allen. So Boston kind of, you know, they did what they needed to do. But now they're facing a team that's hungry, that found their rhythm and has some confidence. So after that game one, you say, okay, which team should you be more worried about? Which team walked away with the most worries? Did Indiana feel like, man, we let one get away? Absolutely. You're up, you know, with three, with a few seconds left. You know, you could have strategized your way out of that with a victory. You had a couple bad turnovers and you gave up a three-point shot, forced overtime and lost. But if you're Boston, you're saying, we got 36 from Tatum. We got 28 or whatever from Brown. Jrue Holiday played above his, you know, his scoring average. Al Horford had a phenomenal game, and we barely got by them. If you're Indiana, you're saying, you know what? This is our game. We play to our style. This is how we play. We don't have to do much of anything different. So now we'll see. What I do know for both of these series is that neither one of them is going to be over with two games in. It's just not. And we've seen that time and time. A team went up, you just mentioned it. The Knicks went up 2-0, ended up losing the series. So where this thing goes heading in further into the holiday weekend, there's still a lot of games left to play, barring anyone getting injured. And we'll see how it resolves going into next week.
And then quickly with Minnesota, we they dominated Denver in the beginning. Denver came back, and then it was a resounding come from behind victory to beat the defending champs. And an opportunity in game one goes by the wayside for the Minnesota Timberwolves.
It did. And credit Dallas for the way that they played. They intended to pack the paint. They weren't going to let Anthony Edwards get into the paint. They basically played way off of Kyle Anderson and said, okay, slow-mo, beat us with your jump shot. If you're going to be the third or fourth or fifth option that has to score 15 or 20 to win this game, we're fine with that. We're not going to let anybody else get off from the, you know, by driving into the lane. You're going to have to beat us shooting jump shots. And Dallas, you know, that's a team that has closers, man. All they want to do is spar with you for 3.5 quarters and give Luka and Kyrie a chance with 5 minutes left in the game to go make dagger plays. And those are the two biggest dagger players we have in the league right now. And, you know, when you have two of them on the same team, all you need is those two guys to lead you and a bunch of athletes to get tip outs, 50-50 balls, putbacks, and all those kind of things. The Derek Livelys, obviously the Daniel Gaffords, you know, those kind of guys, man, you have that. And, you know, Dallas is going to be a headache, man. They just are. I picked Minnesota to win the series, but I wasn't convicted in that pick. I felt like I want Dallas to win, but I needed to pick Minnesota because that's the smarter pick. But either way it goes, man, I want to see a great series, and I think we're in store for a great series on that side for sure.
No doubt about it. Follow him on Twitter at my, or X as it were, at my mic. Check out his great content at grindcitymedia.com. He is Mike Wallace, senior editor of Grind City Media, joining us here on the program. Mike, we appreciate yes. the time, my friend. Man, we look forward to talking with you real soon.
No doubt about it, man. Thanks a lot for having me. I love talking to NBA and the league with you, you know, and we definitely got to do this as we move forward into the conference finals, the NBA finals, and then into the offseason as well, brother. Keep doing what you're doing, man. I'm a big fan of your work. Hey, if you're not following Box to Row and Donald Ware and all he's doing, man, you're missing something. So stop missing it and make sure you hit it up and take care of it from there.
Yeah, I appreciate it, man. More of this Memorial Day weekend edition of Box to Row is on the way.
The Body Armor State Games are coming this June to Charlotte. Don't miss out on North Carolina's largest sports festival of the year. Athletes of all ages and skills can register now at bodyarmorstategames.org. Let the Body Armor State Games begin.
If you have diabetes, listen up. If you have insurance, you can qualify for a continuous glucose monitor. With a CGM, you can continuously track your levels and trends and spend more time in range, significantly lowering your A1C. More importantly, a CGM eliminates the one thing most people with diabetes hate, painful finger sticks. Order your new continuous glucose monitor today. If you use insulin and if you've seen your diabetes care provider within the last 6 months, you may qualify for your own CGM right now. We'll do all the insurance paperwork and deliver your new CGM at little or no out-of-pocket cost to you. Medicare and most insurances will cover your CGM, so don't wait. Have your insurance handy and call the Aptiva Medical CGM Health Hotline right now.
800-946-6813. 800-946-6813. 800-946-6813. That's 800-946-6813.
It's Donald Ware from the Press Box to Press Row.
In the last segment, we talked with Mike Wallace, senior editor of Grind City Media, not just about the NBA playoffs, but what's happening in the NBA with the Lakers coaching job. Will LeBron James, in fact, return back to the Lakers? I mean, just so many questions still lingering. And I want to get back to talking about the NBA playoffs because, look, Indiana really had an opportunity to make this a different series. Even if what happened in game two happened, right, I think things could have been a lot different even for game two. Because while I think the Celtics have the best team, we talked about this not just last week, but in weeks past, where the Celtics have these lulls. Now, I don't think in game one there was a lull because I really think you had two dynamics. You had a dynamic in which Indiana was coming off a really hard-fought battle, coming back from down 2-0 against a very tough Knicks team to win that series. And then you had a Celtics team that had been off for more than a week. So you had those two dynamics, and Indiana really came to play, had that game won. You get a great play by Jaylen Brown to get the ball, not only on the three-pointer that he hit that sent the game into overtime, and then Jason Tatum just took the game or took overtime over, but also the steal that he had on the inbound when the Pacers were up three in the backcourt. So now the Celtics get the ball in the backcourt, get it in the corner to Brown, and he knocks down that huge three-pointer with a contest, a man right in his face. So Indiana wins that game. The dynamics, I think, shift entirely for game two. But that's not what happened. And you knew when Brown hit that shot in game one that the Celtics were going to win that game in overtime. And that's exactly what happened. You come back, and for all of those that thought, okay, Indiana was right there. The Pacers played well. You make a couple of tweaks here and there, and you can win game two. Not that it would be easy, but I think the sort of the prevailing thought was that the Pacers could bounce back in game two. I didn't look at it that way because I've been talking about this with the Celtics for the second half of the season. Right, the Celtics are going to make the adjustments in the game previous, and in the game previous, it happened to be a win because, generally speaking, we would have saw a loss. We saw the Celtics lose a couple of games. Maybe that the Celtics, I'm not going to say shouldn't have lost. I mean, you're not going to expect any team, even a team with that's the caliber and the talent, and not only the talent, the depth that the Celtics have. You're not going to sweep. Generally, you're not going to sweep a team. And so that said, you knew that the Celtics were going to be able to bounce back in game two. And not only that, I mean, look, Celtics went on that 20, in excess of 20-0 run, but the Pacers, give the Pacers a lot of credit in game two. Still stood tall, came back, made it a game, and then Halliburton injures his hamstring, and it kind of was almost over for the Pacers. Look, Pascal Siakam is absolutely terrific, and he was terrific in game two. Unfortunately, not a win for the Pacers. His mid-range game was really, really good. His driving to the basket, his outside shot. I don't know that Siakam is necessarily, I mean, he's not an awful three-point shooter, but he's not necessarily known as a three-point shooter. He's a guy that's really good around the basket, mid-range game, hand in his face. Even with a defender, he can still make shots. And he was knocking down three-pointers. It was just not enough. Jaylen Brown was spectacular throughout this ball game. See, Jason Tatum, and by the way, the All-NBA teams came out. Jason Tatum, first team All-NBA, and rightfully so. But Jaylen Brown is built differently. Like, the way that Jaylen Brown plays the game, like, you can see the skill set. And Jaylen Brown, it's not that Jaylen Brown doesn't have a skill set, but Tatum has this skill set that is unbelievable. And I really had a chance to see Tatum or Jason Tatum become Jason Tatum back in 2016 at Cameron Indoor Stadium, Tatum's first and only year in Durham, when Duke defeated UNC in 2016. And that's the game to me where Jason Tatum, because he, you know, even during that freshman year at Duke, he was sort of up and down. And then from that game on, he was good. Then he got into the NBA. And now one of the top, you know, in any given year, a top five player. Any given year, a top 10 player. This year, a top five player because of the fact that he was first team All-NBA. He's got a different skill set. But Jaylen Brown, man, like he – plays just with a different energy. He's not necessarily a great shooter. I mean, he's not a bad shooter. He's not necessarily a great shooter. And I think Tatum's a better shooter than is Jaylen Brown. But Jaylen Brown, like, knocks down shots at the most opportune times. We saw it in game one with the three-pointer, and then he pretty much controlled the game and dominated the game for the Celtics on the Celtics' way to victory in game two against the Pacers. I don't know if this is going to be a sweep. It feels like it. You know, it feels like it. Now, the advantage that the Pacers have, and the old adage, a series doesn't begin until, you know, until a visiting team wins a road game. Well, yes, and so therefore, we got to go back to Indianapolis for games 3 and 4. And so it's going to be, you know, it's going to be different, I think. And maybe, you know, I think the Celtics win one of two and go back to Boston and complete the series in game five, as it has done and as it did in the last series. It's just one of those deals where the Pacers did not take advantage of an opportunity. Similarly, for Minnesota, now this could be a different series for the Timberwolves right now. I'm not saying the Timberwolves controlled the game at any particular point in game one, but it just felt like, because again, coming off going up 2-0 against Denver, then being down 3-2, then coming back to win the last two games in the fashion in which the Timberwolves won the last two games, including it blew Denver out by 40 in game six, and then came back from a 20-point deficit to win game seven. It just felt like, I believe on the road, it just, you know, you looked at the Timberwolves, and then at one point in the third quarter, just felt like the Timberwolves were going to take control of the game, but Dallas had other ideas in the fourth quarter. And so that series could also be very, very different at this point. But look, we've got two really good series, and very much looking forward to those series this weekend. So any thoughts there? We can take it off air. Hit me up via Twitter at BoxToRow, BoxToRow. My time is about up. I thank you for yours. Thank you to Mike Wallace, the senior editor of Grind City Media, for joining us today here on Box to Row. Look, the seventh count, Box to Row countdown to kickoff. We have a date, so save the date for Saturday, July the 20th. Save the date for Saturday, July the 20th, Box to Row's seventh countdown to kickoff. So, of course, as we've done for many, many years, we're going to disclose the location and the time. It's most likely going to be sometime late afternoon, early evening in the Raleigh-Durham, perhaps Greensboro area. We're trying to lock all of that down. So if you live in any of those areas, not far from those areas, come on out. You know, as we do each and every year, the head coaches from the HBCU schools in North Carolina will participate. We've gotten confirmations from A&T Central, also from Winston-Salem State, Elizabeth City State, Johnson C. Smith, and Shaw. So listen, it should be a great time. We're going to have more information on our website, BoxToRow.com, also on our social media channels in terms of finalizing that. And we hope to finalize it within the next 2 weeks in terms of location and time. But save the date. Box to Row seventh countdown to kickoff, where we get with those coaches and talk with them about their respective programs. Saturday, July the 20th. Save the date. And always remember to support those that support you. Box to Row is produced by DW Communications.